This is the Bubba Army Podcast.
Kevin Hazlett in the studio. Kevin can be here in a legal capacity if you like, but more importantly, we'll just we kind of blend Kevin in on some Fridays here and there. It's just as a lifestyle, Willie. Like, if you got a couple legal deals, you know, if you got pulled over last night with a couple pounds, he can help you out. Or if you're in jail or your loved one locked up on a DUI last night, Kevin will help you. But he's also here just as a very worldly successful businessman that invested heavily in Bitcoin back in 86 and is almost retired now because of it.
If it goes back up.
That's all right. We're good.
What was the first year that you bought Bitcoin, Kevin?
It was
not necessarily volumes, just you bought one Bitcoin back in what, 96?
So 2011, which was really early on, my oldest came to me and said, "Hey, Dad, this cool thing called Bitcoin."
At that point, how old is he? In high school?
He's in high school, yeah.
All right, 2011.
And he's
one of the four brilliant, no, you have three or four kids?
Three.
Three sons. The oldest one comes to you?
The oldest one comes to me and says, "Dad, I'm going to mine Bitcoin." And of course, in 2011, someone says, "Mine Bitcoin." I'm like, okay, he's going to go into a trade. This is awesome.
Boy, and that just shows you the difference of our kids. My kid comes to me and says, "Dad, can I have $50 to go to the Lightning game? Seth Kushner got me a ticket."
Man, your if kid, I ever asked my parents for $50, I'd be slapped so
your
hard.
Your kid says, "Dad, I want to put $1 zillion in Bitcoin so we can be more zillionaires."
No, he starts mining it. I go, "Mining Bitcoin? I didn't know what that meant." I'm like, "Mining Bitcoin? Okay, great."
So in 2011, yes. Your son in high school comes to you, "Dad, I'm going to start mining Bitcoin."
Actually, it's 2010. I think he's a sophomore. 2010, mining Bitcoin. And I go, and I didn't know what it meant. He goes, "No, it just takes one of the computers." So I said, "Okay, cool." So about 2 days later, he's got like six computers on the kitchen table, all like connected with cords, and they're
Do you say, "Son, what do we got going on here?"
Exactly. I'm like, "What?" I go, "What are you?" Of course, I'm like, you know, off the handle. "What are you doing?" And he's like, "I'm mining Bitcoin." I'm like, "How does this work?" Also, I saw like hashtags are coming across the screen. And long story short, he fried about $7,000 worth of computers. Crashed them. Absolutely crashed them.
Didn't find even one Bitcoin.
Well, I don't think he got one at that point. And then he's like, "Well, we can just buy them." And then I'm like, "I'm not going to buy some Bitcoin."
Kevin, sure. Here's what I just cannot wrap my mind around. And is there anybody else, Lummy, you might be the same, but maybe everybody else gets it. Where do you find these is it this big virtual scavenger hunt? Like, do you understand? Like, I don't understand when you're mining Bitcoins. I can't wrap my head around that.
So let me simplify. So
is there anybody else that feels the same way?
I don't get it.
To ask?
I don't get it. I want to.
So are you with me, Seth, and be like, "I don't understand this"?
Me, it's like those paintings that you used to stare at the mall where you're supposed to see something happen and you never do.
Right.
That's how I feel about Bitcoin. I've been listening to people talk about it forever.
Everybody's like, "Look, there's a 747 right there in that picture." I'm like, "All I see are a bunch of dots."
Yeah.
No matter how I look at it, and I can even see where you're saying I'm supposed to say, I can't see it.
I want to see it. I want to get rich.
I think my stupid, you know, cross-eyed, beady little eyes can't pick up the dots.
This is the Bubba Army Podcast.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, it's Bubba the Love Sponge. You know that bacteria and viruses live everywhere. Your phone, your earbuds, car keys, groceries, wallets, packages, even your face mask that you're wearing right now. Sanitizing these items is as important as playing it safe and healthy. But it also can mean using harmful chemicals that you're constantly trying to have to replace. The Clean Phone line of products changes all of that. The Clean Phone brand offers a full range of sanitizing products that use ultraviolet light. This is the same technology used to sanitize hospital rooms and medical equipment. The Clean Phone products have been tested by independent laboratories and provide the best quality UV sanitizing for every need. The Clean Phone is a device designed for phones and household items. It even works as a wireless charger for your cell phone. And now add the Clean Phone Wand, which is a portable handheld device that can go anywhere and be used to sanitize anything, like tablets, computers, packages, groceries, anything you bring into your home. Go to thenewdealshop.com. Again, thenewdealshop.com, and select the right clean phone product for you. And you're going to get free FedEx two-day shipping as an added bonus. Get 10% off the FDA-authorized respirator masks as well. Again, go to thenewdealshop.com. Thenewdealshop.com now. That's free FedEx two-day shipping and a bonus of 10% off FDA-authorized respiratory face masks. And it's only at thenewdealshop.com. Go there now. So, Kevin, when they say mining Bitcoin, what are you? Where are you looking for?
A fellow named Satoshi allegedly started Bitcoin. The idea was he was frustrated. The movement came out of the crash back in 2005. And the theory was that money doesn't have any value because, as you know, we moved away from the gold standard with Reagan. So that means our money is not backed by anything. Right now, as you know, the Fed is printing money, which means that we're going to have massive inflation in the coming years. We've got a huge debt. I don't want to get too into that. So the theory was rather than have it centralized with the bank, we would create currency because money is what we determine the value it is. I mean, look at Venezuela, where it takes, 10,000 whatever Venezuela dollars to buy a loaf of bread. They're eating pigeons and dogs because they're one of the richest countries in the world, but their government, they went to a socialist government, and they're bankrupt. So they're looking for another.
Is that where we're headed?
Well, we're going to have some problems. We are going to have problems because we print so much money. It's going to be an issue. And I don't want to get off too far afield. But the idea with Bitcoin is decentralized in a way for people to have currency which is not tied to a government. That's so decentralized.
So this Snodgrass guy go and put a couple of zillion pieces of binary code on some sort server, and I don't get it.
Yeah, let's start there. So something like that. And the theory underlining Bitcoin is blockchain technology. And blockchain technology,
I know they always say that, and I was like, if I can't get Bitcoin, how am I going to understand blockchain?
Well, blockchain technology is a way for everybody to agree when something happened. So if I give Seth a Bitcoin, it is on blockchain. It confirms that I gave Seth a Bitcoin, and I can follow it back, and everybody can see it. Now, I've got anonymous. It's anonymous to know that I did it, but it's confirmed. Blockchain technology is the way to have records, like a marriage certificate, health records. Everything's on a blockchain, and it is set, and it's a way to transfer information, and everybody can see it, and it's transparent. And it's the way that the world's going to move.
Well, I'll give Seth 1,000 Bitcoins right now if he wants them, and I'll say, boom, there you go. Seth? I am documenting that I'm sending you 1,000 of these make-believe Bitcoins.
Thank you. I'll take them.
Will you acknowledge that you blockchained me in at this time?
I do. Yes,
fantastic,
sir.
Fantastic. You got them.
But, and if you look, there's an interesting article that came out yesterday which said that 6 out of 10 people in the United States want to move away from paper money. We're going to go to online currency. It may not be Bitcoin. It will be some sort of online currency, an altcoin or some other coin.
I'll take any kind of money we make. I need the paper. I need the coins. I need the virtuals. I need it all.
But the idea behind blockchain technology is to bank the unbanked. It's allowed to move. Right now, you use a Visa or American Express or use PayPal, and it costs us money to move currency from me to Seth. For me, if I want to send him Seth money through Venmo or whatever, it's
like
still
a dollar.
It takes 2 days to show up in your bank account, number one. Number two, it maybe cost me a dollar. So if I use XRP, for example, which is another coin, I can send it to him in a nanosecond for 1/1,000th of a cent.
Mm. Yeah, but
who
owns the nano coins?
Yeah, who's that going to?
But who's it going to? Yeah. I mean, I can send it from my wallet to Seth's wallet.
No. You said 1/1,000th
of a cent.
Yeah. Where is that? Who is getting that money?
Kevin, can we get back to the miners? Can we get back to the digging in the side of a hill in Kentucky and trying to get some coal?
So the way designed Bitcoin is for the people that confirmed that transaction took place
via encryption.
They reward those people with a percentage of a Bitcoin. The idea is the miners were rewarded for helping spread the news of Bitcoin and the transaction of Bitcoin and the transparency of Bitcoin.
Well, I'll get on the air every day and say Bitcoin's the best if they want to give me some stuff.
Well, you mine it with a computer and you get
Did you hear how cool Bitcoin was?
No, yeah, it's the best I've ever seen. I just burned all my money today.
I'm in on it. How about you?
And no one really minds with computers anymore.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the way they used to do it. Yeah. But I mean,
it's all ASICs now.
Yeah, and Iceland's doing it right now where they get all that geothermal power. But
me and Seth were just learning how to mine. Now we're on a geothermal. Mm. Yippee-o.
We got to get Dyson
on
immediately.
On a glacier? What's going on?
Well, because
I was happy. I just got a new Dyson this weekend.
The quote unquote computers that mine it take a lot of power. It also generates heat. So if you can cut down on the having to cool it part, you cut down on your cost.
Exactly.
So that's why they're
now you're worried about your air conditioning bill while you're mining your coins.
Well, yeah. So you don't want to mine $4,000 worth of coins and have an energy bill of $5,000.
Who has an energy bill of $5,000? How many computers you got?
You absolutely do. They're warehouses.
Hold on, Kevin.
These guys have hundreds of thousands of dollars a month worth of power bills.
So Kevin, you're saying that you have people that have football fields full of servers trying to find these
custom built boards that do nothing but mine.
Exactly.
They're built for the only purpose of mining.
And so the way that you mine, and I'm really, really trying here. I'm not just trying to be a dick. I'm really trying to understand this, okay? So the way that you mine is to be part of a blockchain that will verify transactions, and you get rewarded for verifying transactions by having a little smidgen of a coin. And when you get enough of these smidgens, because you've verified enough transactions through your 5 football fields of servers, you get a hat, you know, you get
well,
something.
Well, technically, usually you go as part of a pool, and when they find one coin, it's split up between the pool.
But he's got it right. I mean, the idea is you're getting paid for helping close the blockchain and confirm the transactions.
So they're trying to build this blockchain so that every computer is tied together and all the people who help tie it together get these imaginary bitcoins, and that's how it works.
Close enough.
Basically.
Close enough.
So,
you passed the test.
Do I need to go get a computer and start hooking it up so I can start bitcoining?
No.
You can't do it now.
You would lose money.
Mm.
Yeah, you could have done it years ago, but you can't do it now.
I could either Bitcoin or do this radio show. I still lose money, so what the hell? Might as well be Bitcoin in it. Seth, come over to here tomorrow. We're not doing a radio show. We're mining, buddy.
I can't wait.
Okay, great.
I'll bring my helmet.
One of the first purchases, Bubba, with Bitcoin was 2 pizzas from Papa John's, and the value now of those 2 pizzas, had they kept the Bitcoin, is about $110 million.
That's what Papa John should be using. Screw Shaq's new Shrek-a-roni. Let's use the fact that we were the first transaction of Bitcoin, bitch.
They paid 10,000 Bitcoins for 2 pizzas at Papa John's.
How about Bitcoin save 50 cent, too? See that?
What do you mean?
So he, not knowing this, about 6 years ago, he decided to sell some of his online albums and music in exchange for Bitcoin.
So hey, 50, we'll give you, you know, if we can have in the club and candy shop, we'll give you like some Bitcoin. You know?
So literally he was going bankrupt, and then he realized he had 700 Bitcoins that he accepted. So multiply that out, 700 by 10 grand, and that basically saved him because on the Bitcoin.
I got a Bitcoin story, and I don't know if I'm supposed to say it or not, but I think I can. So J.D. Acko, Kevin, earlier this week, Monday, has publicly got on the air. We talked about it on the show, how he had been blitzed, what they called it, when you get hostage?
Ransomed.
Yeah, he got ransomed.
Very common.
And these ransom bad guys had his firm in the whole nine yards, and he was talking to his IT guys about having a back, you know, whatever. And they were going back and forth as to how many bitcoins this was going to, that's all they take is Bitcoin, right? These bad guys. And so Jay was talking about this. Well, Jay alluded to the fact that one of the very first people we knew that got hostage like this a long time ago was like in 2011. It happened to Tom Bean.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, and I think Brian the Babyface said that I could tell this story. So it happened to Tom Bean, and at that time it was like $2,000 Bitcoin.
2011. It was a lot less than that.
Yeah, it was. But go ahead.
I don't know. How many bit? But they locked Tom's all of his files up for all of his businesses and all that kind of stuff. And Tom, you know, hired a forensic guy, tried not to do it like everybody probably does. And they're like, bottom line is you got to do it. So Tom paid these bad guys in 2011. It paid them through Bitcoin, right, Kevin? Like paid whatever. Well, there happened to be 5 or 6 or 7 extra Bitcoin in the exchange of what what Tom bought and Tom gave him. There was a few left.
That okay? he had on his computer?
That he didn't know about or something
awesome.
Like that. Now, hold on. That he didn't know about or whatever. Come to find out after he found his Bitcoins, the few that he had, the shekels of Bitcoins he had laying around because of the transaction or whatever, there was a few extra. It ended up, I don't know what the value, end up paying for the entire, it paid for everything. He made money on the deal, being a hostage. He ended up making money based on having a few Bitcoins left over. He made money on the deal when he cashed them back in.
So just real quick. So that's awesome. My middle son at Naval Academy, when he was there his freshman year, Bitcoin was taken off. And that's the year that it went from literally a couple thousand and made the run up December to almost $20,000. And his roommates from North Carolina and his roommate, his best buddy, went to University of North Carolina. And when they were in high school in 10th grade, so you're going back to like 2008, 2007, they bought fake IDs in China. And, you know, in order to buy the fake IDs in China, the guy in China would only accept Bitcoin to produce the IDs. So they had 40, you know, 10th graders pooled their money, gave it to this guy. He converted it to Bitcoin to buy the fake IDs. Well, his mom found out about it.
So this guy wasn't,
these are high school students.
Right. And they say, okay, Johnny, you go out and buy the IDs.
Yes.
Right.
And everybody gave him $50.
Right.
So Johnny turns the $50 into
Bitcoin.
So Johnny
can't give the bad guys who are doing the IDs $50. He has to convert it over to Bitcoin.
So he converts to Bitcoin, which is kind of hard in 2009. He converts it to Bitcoin. Mom finds out the deal because it's a small little town.
Right.
Puts the kibosh and says, Johnny, you're done. It's not going to happen.
Johnny, you're not buying IDs for your friends, buddy. It stops.
Fast forward 7 years later, they're in college, and his buddy's at Naval Academy, my son's roommate, and he texts his buddy at University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and says, hey, sure wish you kept those Bitcoins, huh, LOL. The guy goes, what Bitcoins? He goes, haha, that's funny. Remember from the ID caper 4 years ago? He goes, what are you talking about? He goes, remember we got the fake IDs from China with the Bitcoins? He goes, yeah. And he goes, oh, wait, you wish you still had them? He goes, well, I think I do. And he goes, what? Long story short, goes back to the computer, finds out at the time he had $3.5 million worth of Bitcoin on his computer.
From like a $200?
Well, it was like, you know, a bunch of kids. So $50, you know, like $600.
Yeah, so from 600, he had 3 million.
3 million. So he's frantically trying to get it off and sell it. If you've been on Coinbase, and Blitz knows what I'm talking about, it takes a while to get on there. You get your credentialed. Bitcoin price starts falling. He's trying to sell. By the time he sells, it fallen, and he's still got like almost $2 million in Bitcoin.
So did he scratch off the boys all?
So this is what happens. His parents find out. He got two DUIs at Chapel Hill. They extract the law money, the lawyer's fee from the amount. They subtract his tuition at UNC. He's left with just under $1 million after his parents extract. He doesn't scratch his boys anything. They get nothing.
But
I know, it's crazy. But they'd already been, he paid them back their $50. Remember,
he came to your son and goes, hey, buddy, you know me, you gave me a 50, so here's your 50 back.
No, he paid his 50 back when he was in 10th grade.
Back then, yeah.
Back in 10th grade, he had to pay it right back.
So
he just couldn't get his 50, he couldn't get the Bitcoin off his computer.
Oh, so he'd already paid the boys
yes,
back.
Yes.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Go check this website out. It's thenewdealshop.com. Now, they got all kinds of stuff. They want me particularly to tell you about the clean phone wand. God, this is exactly what Seth needs. A wand to clean. He'll be cleaning everything.
Oh, yeah.
I have a promo code, Bubba, and I think that gets you $50 off your first order plus free shipping. TheNewDealShop.com. Use Bubba as your promo code. They got all kinds of specials, from the masks that you need to the various cleaning devices that you need to clean your phone, your wallet, your earbuds, if you need to clean it. And it's all through UV rays. And it's all real kick-ass. Lummy, you can even wand your groceries.
Sweet.
Like, you know, we should technically wand all these packages we get.
Let's get one or two.
Yeah. TheNewDealShop.com. Promo code Bubba. There's a certain way you dribble with Scottie Pippen, and there's a certain way you dribble with Michael Jordan.
I got it. I understand.
You know, I got to dribble a certain way with you.
It's just a different feel.
Michael Jordan a NASCAR owner now?
Yeah, he
yeah,
is.
I actually think, as much people have been kind of taking a crap on it, I think it's absolutely brilliant. And it's great business. It'll be good for NASCAR. Bring in Michael Jordan.
As much as
NASCAR go, let me tell you something, man. You're going to get a black guy in here with another black driver. It's going to be... Okay, that's great. But, you know, have you thought about Michael Jordan is one of the most famous men in the world? He's a billionaire, and if you can put that different set of eyes in perspective.
We might want to fill in what's happening.
What?
Well, some people don't know.
Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin are going to form a race team. They bought a charter, so they're going to have their own. Michael Correct. Jordan is forming a new NASCAR race team with Denny Hamlin. And Bubba Wallace is... Did you just knock your tea over, Kevin?
Nope, wasn't me.
I think it was Seth.
Seth! Kushner!
I didn't know. I didn't touch anything, but I'll take the blame for it.
Okay. You want to correct yourself?
Yeah. I'm an idiot.
Slap your hand like you did. There you go.
I'm a bad boy. Sorry for not making a noise.
Will you slap your hand like a bad boy?
Yeah.
He did.
Sorry for not making a noise.
Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin are forming together a race team. They got Bubba Wallace to drive. Who else would they get?
Right.
And they got Bubba Wallace. Now, there's going to be a ton of corporate sponsors. They're going to want to get involved with this in the era that we're living in and what our country is going through. And it's Michael Jordan is a very successful businessman that's worth billions of dollars. It's arguably one of the most recognized athletes of all time. I don't know how that can be bad for your sport. Unless you're a bunch of hill jacks. And be like, man, you can't get a black guy in here with a black driver. It ain't going to happen. They done took a flag away. Effing Michael Jordan. You can't run a race car like Dale Sr. could. Get the hell out of here, buddy. Yeah, you can have that mentality, or you can be like, you know what, maybe this is a smart move. Maybe NASCAR actually is doing something right. You don't have to like the guy. You don't have to like the team. You don't have to like the driver. It's good for the sport.
Isn't a lot of NASCAR based out of North Carolina?
Yep.
Okay.
Most of it is. In fact, almost all of it is. All the teams, and Michael Jordan is, you know.
Do you think they've been trying to get him to get involved in something for years?
Yep. I wouldn't be so surprised if NASCAR didn't, you know, make it really easy for him. Saying NASCAR needs Michael Jordan more than Michael Jordan needs NASCAR, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Michael Jordan could turn on a whole generation of people to NASCAR.
That's what I'm trying to say, yep. Seth. And like, you know, maybe the generation that is mad about the Confederate flag, I don't know how much longer they're going to be around. The new generation might like Michael Jordan owning a car.
I'm just saying, like, if people see a NASCAR that's got the Jumpman logo,
yeah.
I mean, that's going to put some eyes on it that wouldn't normally be there.
Yeah, and Denny Hamlin and Michael Jordan have been friends for years.
And you know what Michael Jordan should do? If you really want to bridge and be an ambassador for race relations, you already hired Bubba Wallace, the only black guy in NASCAR. Now you say, well, we're going to come up with a two-car team because, Blitz, you get all this sponsorship because it's overwhelmingly the support, so you got enough for another team, and you hire Kyle Larson. And Kyle Larson, who got kicked out of NASCAR for saying the N-word and a fleeting type, you know, camaraderie type way, and NASCAR's being so, like, giving him completely the only person that's been penalized more than Kyle Larson is me in radio. Like, they just won't give Kyle Larson another chance. Like, Ford and Chevy and Toyota have all told different teams that were interested in bringing him back, no. Hmm. So Michael Jordan should say, man, not only am I hiring Bubba Wallace, but I'm hiring the guy that got kicked out for saying the N-word, because that's how diverse we are, and that's how much we forgive.
They're both driving for Nissan.
But right, Seth, I mean,
is that happening?
Would Michael Jordan not look like an absolute god that he was able to bridge this problem?
He would. No, I don't know anything about NASCAR. Is he bringing those guys on?
No, he's bringing on Bubba Wallace.
For sure?
Oh, no, absolutely.
Okay.
Bubba Wallace is signed. Bubba Wallace is leaving Richard Petty Motorsports and going to race for Michael Jordan next year. And Denny Hamlin's still going to drive for Joe Gibbs, but he's going to be part owner of this team. And when he gets done retiring driving, then he'll be, you know, owner Willie, like Correct. Tony is.
Damn, I got to see Michael Jordan out there. I got to see him in the infield.
I want to see him on the pit box.
Yeah.
I want Michael Jordan to be the right rear changer, right? But Blitz, would it not blow people's mind if Michael Jordan goes, I just want to let you know we're adding another team, another car. We're going to have a two-car series.
He just wants something new to gamble on.
And, yeah.
No, he probably can't gamble on it anymore, can he?
You can gamble on it.
Yeah, you can if you're an owner, you can gamble?
Oh, I don't think if you're an owner.
Oh, okay.
It's probably against the rules.
I don't think if you're an owner, you can.
No, oh, well, you know.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
If you didn't know it before, well, then let me alert you. There are germs everywhere. What's the one and only way to respond? Sanitize everything. I'm talking everywhere. Packages, groceries, keyboards, tablets, money, doorknobs. You know, all these things are home to bacteria and viruses, but now there's an easy way to kill bacteria and viruses on all these surfaces or wherever they live. The Clean Phone Wand. The Clean Phone Wand is a portable UV sanitizer that lets you eliminate 99.9% of bacteria and kill viruses in seconds on virtually any surface. Use it for all your deliveries. Use it on tablets, on computers. Use it if you have to get on a plane or stay in a hotel. Use it at school. It's super portable, and with days of battery life, you can take it anywhere and make sure your environment is clean and safe. Get yours now and save over $50, plus free shipping by adding the code Bubba. That's B-U-B-B-A. That all happens when you go to thenewdealshop.com. Again, that's thenewdealshop.com. And if you order today and add an FDA-authorized KN95 mask to your order, you're going to save an additional 10%. It's simple. Go to thenewdealshop.com and get the Clean Phone Wand now. And then start sanitizing everything everywhere. Again, thenewdealshop.com. Use Bubba as your promo code. Billionaire Mark Cuban is now has a proposal, or he says he can save the economy, which I think this would be absolutely brilliant. The owner of the NBA Dallas Mavericks told CNBC in an interview that every household in the country should receive a $1,000 stimulus check every 2 weeks until America, until December. So everybody gets $2,000 a month until December. He said that there are two economies right now, people that have been able to get by on the new with the COVID-19 and people that have been brought to its knees. Under his plan, which was proposed in May, all households get $1,000 every 2 weeks with only 10 days to spend the money.
Wait, where is he proposing this plan?
Like, hold on. You only have 10 days to spend it.
Right.
So now, Kevin, you got to go out and blow it, right?
Right. Well, he said you can spend it on a mortgage, you can spend it on rent, you can spend it on clothes, you can spend it on back-to-school clothes, you can anyway, anything like that. But he wants you to spend it. The problem is that we've got a lot of folks who have money that are saving it, and it's not liquid. He wants liquidity in the market, which is when you put money into the economy, the engine grows. So he wants people to go to restaurants, go to movies, buying TVs, buying something.
Buying jet skis, buying whatever.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, the people that were okay during the first stimulus check basically took it and like invested it.
Exactly.
Didn't actually spend it.
Which so, he wants it. He wants it.
Not invested. He wants it blown.
In the economy,
but, and,
yes.
And I got to think that most Americans want to blow it, right?
Well, they probably have to use it for, most probably have to use it for something.
Absolutely. Their rent, their mortgages, their power bill.
Are you allowed to use it for that?
For Bitcoin? No.
No. Under Mark Cuban's proposal and they give you $2,000 and your rent's $2,000 and you pay $2,000.
You can, absolutely.
So it can go for rent and power and
food
and stuff like that.
His exact quote was, it could be candy, it could be rent, it could be their mortgage, it could be anything they deem necessary or that they want.
But who is he proposing
this
to?
I'm all for it.
Because he can sit up there and like, everybody's like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. We love Mark Cuban. Maybe he's going to run in 4 years. But I mean, doesn't this idea have to go through like the actual government?
Congress. Yeah. He wants Congress to pass a stimulus check
that's structured this way.
That pays $4,000 to every American with a caveat they've got to spend it at $1,000 within 10 days.
Oh, now how would they police that?
Well, it's like you have to be in a separate account that just evaporates after 10 days.
No, you would have to do it just like the PPP loan, which is it is a loan, But if you use it within 10 days, then it is a grant. It's a gift.
Oh.
So that's how it would require paperwork.
When is all that PPP work? Everybody that got
right
those
now.
Loans, you got to start when you got to start filling that out.
Right now. Otherwise you got to pay it back.
Oh, you got to start filling it out. Like, okay, this is what I did.
This is what I did with it.
And then like, they say you send it in?
Yes.
And then they send you back and say, okay, here's your receipt for the
RVO? But here's the issue that, did you get PPP money?
Mm-mm.
So the issue which hasn't been hashed out is it's income. So if someone got $1 million in PPP money, they've got to pay income on that money. Tax.
Even if you used it for what they wanted.
Still income.
Yes. So as it sits right now, it is income. I think they got to change it. Because the whole idea was to take that money and pay it when no money was coming in to pay to your employees and keep the rent going so the business was keep moving. But the problem is if you got $1 million, you're going to owe
$300,000
or more. Yeah, $350,000.
So people that got PPPs should have put aside what the tax liability was.
Yes.
But probably most people couldn't do that.
Correct.
Because if you got one of those, you're needing all of it.
Yes.
Because it's been formulated on an opinion on the formulation has been 2.5 months of rent or whatever that was. So you need that because you can't pay tax on it.
And remember like Dan's situation, I think he got some and he had to pay his employees. So he took the money. He didn't take the money to him for himself. He paid his employees. And the idea was to keep your employees employed so he wouldn't lay them off. So the idea is if a business owner got $100,000 and used it to pay his employees, he's got to come up himself because he's an S-Corp to pay $35,000 on the money that he didn't really receive.
Where do you turn you got to turn that money in your income tax, like on your business tax deal?
Exactly.
Oh, I was reading somewhere where they were saying Trump's going to, right before the election, forgive a bunch of these loans and say don't worry about it to try to boost his numbers up. Can you see that happening?
I think anything.
Or can you see another round of stimulus to give everybody a nice little good little warm?
They've been talking about it for months.
I think there's going to be another round of stimulus for sure. But we're walking literally right now into starting Saturday with 3 weeks of nothing but every second of every newscast talking about the Supreme Court pick. That's right. What we're going to be. We're going to be a deluge of nothing about it's fair, it's not fair, it's fair, it's not fair. That's going to be 3 weeks headlines every day.
But Ruth Bader Ginsburg, before she died, said that she wants everyone to wait.
Stop it, please.
This is the Bubba Army Podcast.
Have you noticed your hair isn't looking as full as it used to? Yeah, losing your hair is no fun. So let's talk options. You can go to your doc for a hair loss treatment prescription. Then visit the pharmacy and try not to go broke just to avoid going bald. Or you can try Keeps from the comfort of your Lazy Boy. You'll get the same doctor-recommended, FDA-approved hair loss treatment, but Keeps offers the generic versions for about half the cost. And one more thing you'll love about Keeps, it's all online. You just answer a few questions, snap a few pics of your hair, and a licensed doctor will review your info and recommend the right hair loss treatment for you. Then it's shipped directly to your door. Why make unnecessary trips to the doctor and drugstore when you can do it all from home? You can get started with a special deal. Go to KEEPS.com/POTUS for 50% off your first order of Keeps hair loss treatments. That's KEEPS.com/POTUS. KEEPS.com/POTUS.